Malachi chapter 3, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the very last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3 and then verse number 8. Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the financial plan that you've laid out in the scriptures. I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient children. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us to understand the just must live by faith. And so I pray, Lord, that we would read and believe and do. And Lord, that we would then stay faithful in this matter. You've asked us, prove me. You've challenged us, prove me, and see if I do not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. And so, Lord, help us to learn to prove God and to prove that you are faithful and that you do keep your words. And I pray, Lord, as we talk on the main subject tonight, that, Lord, you'll be allow in 2009 for this to be the year that many families here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, maybe for the first time in a long time, maybe for the first time in some time, experience true financial freedom. And Lord, I'd like to see some burdens lifted off some shoulders. I'd like to see some families, Lord, helped and blessed in this matter. Lord, I'm going to continue to pray. Help us, Lord, to do our part and then set back and watch you do your part. Thank you, Lord, that you don't just say to us, well, you got yourself into this, you can get yourself out. But you're a God of mercy and you're a God of reward and you're a God of help. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient in that which you've asked us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to take maybe the first couple minutes here and talk to you about tithes and offerings. I think there's a couple things that we might miss if we're not careful in this matter of being faithful in our tithes and offerings. One of the things that the Bible says in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament, the phrase, all thine increase is used. In the New Testament, it says, it uses the phrase, as God hath prospered you, talking about coming on instructing the Old Testament Christians. He said, be sure and give tithes of all thine increase. I want you to think about this. I had this thought once, and it propelled me into about a six-month Bible study that I didn't teach or preach a lot on, just mostly for my personal betterment. But I was captivated by this thought. I believe sometimes that if we're not careful, Christians can live literally under a curse of Almighty God. Are you listening? You can live under a curse of Almighty God and not even be aware that you're living under that curse. You know what? God has not made us play a guessing game. In the scriptures, he has outlined very specifically in the Bible the things that if we'll do, if we do certain things, or if we say certain things, or if we don't do certain things, the Bible promises, black and white promises on the pages of Scripture that God will bless us for it. He also, in the same Bible, says if you do or say certain things, that God will curse you with a curse. Are you listening to me? You know what, folks? It's not rocket science. If I was you, I'd get me a concordance. I think I'd take a look at that word blessing. I think I'd chase it through the scriptures. I think I'd find out every place that God said, do this and I'll bless you. And whatever that list is, I'd start doing it. And you know what? You'll find out God keeps his word. But I'd also take a look at every place where the Bible warns that if we do or don't do certain things, we will live with a divine curse upon our lives. I don't want to live with a curse of God upon my life. But that's very possible. And in one of these areas that we are, if not careful, we live with a curse upon us. It's a curse upon our family. It's a curse upon our home in this matter of withholding from God the tithes and offerings. God says that is robbing me. Now, let me remind you of this. The Bible says in the Old Testament, all thine increase. When the Bible says in the New Testament, you come on the first day of the week and bring an offering as God hath prospered you. Now, if we're not careful, what we do is we just get in a set pattern. We say, well, my paycheck is this, and so I'm going to tithe on this amount every week. Let me ask you this. Did you tithe today on a paycheck, or did you tithe today on everything God has prospered you with this past week? All of your increase. Let me give you a little. By the way, I'm just teaching you this because I don't want you living under a curse. Amen. This isn't a gimmick to get a few more dollars in the plate. This is Bible teaching. We just celebrated Christmas. I do this every Christmas. I do it on my birthday. I figure out approximately the amount of money that people spent on gifts that was given to me. And by the way, that was part of my increase that week. And the Sunday after Christmas, our tithe check increased. Our tithes and offering check increased accordingly. If it comes to be my birthday, I figure out if people give me something. Are you listening? You say, Brother Jerry, this is silly. No, this is Bible. This is the difference between having the blessing of God and the curse of God. By the way, if you aren't doing this, how are you doing? And you know what you find out? Is that you'll get to start figuring up this a lot. You won't just be figuring up on your birthday and figuring up on Christmas. If God sees that if he gives you extra increase, you obey the Bible concerning that increase, he's just more prone to give you unexpected increase. This happens regularly. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. This happens regularly in my life where I have to sit down at the end of the week and say, okay, it's time to write out my tithes and offering check. And listen, I know what I make. That's pretty much standardized. But what else has God prospered us with this week? And you know what that also does? It gives you an opportunity to look back at the blessings of God on a week. There's a lot of times that God's given you something unexpected. It may be cash or it may be something tangible, but it has a worth. And you know what? If you're diligent in this, you're going to find out that God learns that he can trust you and he gives you and blesses you accordingly. So I wanted to share that with you so that we, you know, wouldn't you like God to, from time to time, just throw something extra your way? Isn't that a blessing? Has he done that from time to time? Well, don't you think God would also want you to honor him when he does that and respect what he's asked us to do concerning the giving and the tithing and offerings on all of our increase, as God hath prospered you? Think about those things. All right, let's see here. I need to get wired up, and then we're going to get into our teaching. Electronics and different things. If this church ever gets struck by lightning, I'm going to look like a burnt piece of toast up here. Let's review real quickly. This is what our treasure chest, hopefully, we want to get it to where it looks like. Where God, through labor, creative resources, and answered prayer, allows us to be trusted with some of what is his. We first, number one, then reach in there and are involved in giving as we are instructed by the Bible and by the Holy Spirit. Then we're to pay for our necessities, and we, in that, learn a contentment, to be content with the basic needs of life. Then we have an abundance to deal with, and in that abundance, God has different opportunities for us, different instructions. Sometimes he'll use abundance to give us an opportunity to give to extra the Lord's work, maybe to give to somebody that we know that God's put our heart upon our heart a need. Sometimes God does allow us to get some things for our family that might be outside the realm of needs, and as long as we ask him and he okays that, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's good. I found out that God's very generous with his children, as you are with yours and I am with mine. And we don't just give them the very basics of life. A lot of times we love them, so we give them extras, and sometimes God allows us to do that. There's other things that we do with our abundance, and we've taught on that. I want to get into our stewardship complications. Stewardship complications, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight. A lot of times we have income coming in through labor, creative resources, and answered prayer. But instead of just us reaching in and having to or having the opportunity to bring it out in the proper biblical way, what we end up doing instead is having what I call holes in the bottom of our treasure chest. One of the things that people are kind of get stuck in is this idea of there's a lot of the things that God's entrusted us with, and we have went ahead and borrowed money, and so we didn't wait for God to give us. We didn't use answered prayer. We didn't use creative resourcefulness. We didn't use added labor. We went out and borrowed something because we wanted something and we didn't have the money to get it, and so now we have the obligation to pay that money back. And so we're busy doing that. But we don't just pay that money back. We're paying interest on borrowed money. We'll talk about this probably next week. I'm going to cover indebtedness, paying back borrowed money tonight, and then the rest of these I'll cover on our last Sunday night. And we can do that, I think, in a good, timely fashion. But we're also paying interest on borrowed money. If you don't know right now how much interest you are paying every month on borrowed money, you need to know that. I mean, this month you need to sit down and figure it up. Every credit card, every loan, your mortgage, everything, you need to know monthly how much money of yours is being consumed just in interest. And if most of you would take the time to do that, it would shock you. And hopefully God would use it to motivate you. Because you can look at that figure, you can say, that is money that is just going out of the bottom of my treasure chest. That's money that could be used for this, could be used for that, could be used for this. But you know what? All it is making some banker richer and paying the Cadillac payment on some banker's car instead of being used for something that God would have me use it for, okay? Then there's impulse buying. That's another problem. We're going to hit on that just light tonight as we talk about borrowing and indebtedness. Spending, unwise spending. Sometimes we do spend. And it's something we needed, but we didn't use much wisdom in doing it. And now we're kind of trying to pay that back. Then there's what the Bible calls the devourer. We mentioned that. I'll cover that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of these because we need to go on. Then I want to talk to you next Sunday night about calamity. Sometimes in the life of a Christian, you know what? We've tried to do everything right to the best of our ability. Maybe we've made some mistakes. But, you know, we're trying to get things back on track. And boom, out of the blue, there is some financial calamity. I'm talking about a big-time hit. We didn't see it coming. We couldn't have predicted it. It wasn't something that we necessarily caused. It's just what it is. And God does sometimes allow those things to come into our life. And there's a reason He does it. And there's a way to deal with it and a way not to deal with it. We'll talk about those things. We're going to focus on tonight on paying back borrowed money. What is debt? This is debt. Debt is a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. That's what it is. Debt, your indebtedness, was a condition that you're now in that's caused by you choosing to operate on borrowed money. I'm working for money. I have the availability of creative resources and answered prayer, but instead of relying on those three ways to get money, I'm going to go to somebody else and ask to borrow some of their money to put it in my chest. But the problem is that has to funnel right back out a little bit every month with interest. And so it's a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. This is what America's doing. We are operating. We did again in 2008. We've chosen to operate on borrowed money, increased indebtedness. Folks, the house of cards is going to fall. Did you see it shake pretty hard a couple months ago? Okay, all that's been done is there's been a tourniquet put on, but the bleeding hasn't stopped. We're still in a crisis situation. Okay, so think about these things. All right, consequences of borrowing. Let's talk about this. All right, I've already done it, or I'm thinking about doing it. What's the consequences? Let me just give you a scriptural mindset. I want you to think scripturally when it comes to borrowing. In borrowing, it violates Scripture. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. It violates Scripture. That's the consequences of borrowing. Indebtedness is identified with judgment
and financial freedom with blessing. I want you to look at some scriptures that I'm going to show you here, because indebtedness in the Bible is identified with the judgment of God and financial freedom with the blessing of God upon nations. Look at this, Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And what he's saying there is, he was saying in part of the description of how God was going to bless Israel, this is one of the things he pointed out. He said, you know how you're going to, you want to know how you have the blessings of upon you? Is that you'll be in a position to lend or to help others, but you won't be in a position where you have to go borrow. That's how you'll know that the blessing of God is upon you. Think about this. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You know, can I say this? And I don't know if there's any Jewish people in here or not, and I'm not trying to just take everybody and put them in, but you know, there's always in society, there's this perception that Jewish people are good with money, and that Jewish people are usually prosperous. Could I say this? Orthodox Jews believe this. They don't believe being in the borrowing business. They believe being in the lending business. And you can say what you want to, but I'm just saying that if we follow Bible principles, we'd find out that with that comes prosperity, okay? So the Bible talks about judgment, and that being a sign of judgment. Look at this. Consequences of borrowing. It produces bondage to creditors. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. And folks, it's a Bible rule, Bible principle, that you are a servant to the lender. Well, I'm not a servant to my lenders. Okay, let's find out. Just don't send them a check this month. I'm not under bondage. I'm not entangled. Just don't pay them. Yeah, I mean, you're free. They don't control you. You know what? They'll take everything you got. You're at their mercy. You're at their bidding. And so the Bible's warning us, listen, this is why it said, owe no man anything but to love one another. Don't put yourself in that situation. If you are servant to the lender, how can you be servant to the Lord? You know, there's a lot of people that God has come to, and God's intent was for them to serve the Lord. But you know what? They got themselves in so much indebtedness that instead of having the freedom to pull up stakes and go when God called them to do something, they had this, they already have a master, and that master dictates to them what they'll do and what they won't do, and they can't do anything about it until they get that rid of that master so they can start following another master. I'm going to say something about somebody in here, and by the way, I appreciate the encouraging comments that many of you have given me on the way out. I won't call people by name. I had one man tell me, he said, Brother Jerry, everything you're teaching works. Your dad taught these things years ago. Me and my wife did them. You know what? We got out of debt. And another person came to me and said, you know what? We incorporated what you told us to incorporate last year. We're not quite out of the woods yet, but we're close. Another young couple came to me and said, Brother Jerry, last year what you taught, we went in, we hit it hard this year. We were in quite a bit of debt. We're not out of it yet, but we're well on our way. Thank you. Keep encouraging us. By the way, I need to hear this. This isn't easy stuff to preach. I'll be honest. I don't go home after these sessions going, man, that was good. Boy, you know, some messages, I just kind of feel like after these, wow, I'm just fighting. And my dad must have sensed that last weekend to me, and he said, Jerry, don't get discouraged. Keep teaching this stuff. There's a lot more fun things to preach on than this. But I don't know if there's anything more important in this day and age to preach on. You know, if God came to your family right now, if God called you into the mission field, if God called you to something unique, would you be able to liquidate what you now have, break even, and head off in any direction God wanted you to head off in? Or would you have to say, come back in 10 years, Lord, I might be able to actually do something for you? You know, Brother Brian Sluter is now entering into full-time ministry and in the process of deputation. I mean, I got this phone call 5 years ago. Brother Jerry, God's stirring my heart. I think he's wanting me to do something in ministry related. One of the first things we talked about is, well, do you have the freedom to do it? And you know what, Brother Brian, the one area of his life that I've been so proud of him in is that many of you folks know where him and Lisa live. This isn't a decision he made by himself. Him and his good wife made it together. But they sold a house that had them in a lot of indebtedness. It was a very nice house. They sold other things. They began to work their way towards financial freedom so that they could be in a position to do what God was calling him to do. Now, it took them a little bit of time, but you know what? They're just about completely there, and they're in the process of going forward. And what I'm saying is this, folks, you can do it too. But it might not be easy. It's going to make some life-changing decisions. But you know what? You've got to decide who's going to be your master. Are you going to be servant to a lender? Are you going to be so entangled in the affairs of this life? A soldier. You know what? The call goes out. Soldiers, come. There's a war. Come. I'm so entangled, I can't go fight the war. And I think God's calling a lot of people and a lot of young couples and wants to call them into the ministry, but they're so entangled they couldn't come if they got called. Is this helping you? All right. Consequences of borrowing. It produces bondage to creditors. All right? It presumes upon the future. Think about this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bringeth forth. And when you borrow money, what you're doing is you're making a long-term commitment that I'll pay these payments for the next 4 years, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 30 years. And you know what you're doing? You're being presumptuous about the future. You're being presumptuous about the future. We're supposed to live by faith. You know what? The Bible says, be careful of that. Be careful what you commit to. You're being presumptuous. Let me give you this. It gives the illusion. Boy, don't miss that word. The illusion of independence. Heard this story years ago. It's kind of a joke, but it's not. It's funny, but it's not. But the story is told about a guy that showed up at a bar one night. He walks in, says to the bartender, I'm buying everybody drinks. I got good news today. Well, how are you affording to buy everybody drinks? Man, I got news from the banker and I borrowed enough money today to get out of debt. You know what that man had? He had the illusion of independence, financial independence. A lot of times we borrow money and it gives us a sense of well-being. Man, we've got a money influx. We've got this short-term idea that all of a sudden, man, we're doing pretty good. We've got this money. You know, Brother Jerry, the bank's giving me a line of credit. Well, yeah, of course they are. They're going to give you enough rope to hang yourself. We act as if that's something, you know, to brag about. They'll give it to you. Sure they will. Now, notice this. It gives the illusion of independence. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Be very careful, folks, because, short-term borrowing allows you to have the illusion of prosperity and you gather things and you have things, but you also are tying millstones around your neck that long-term is going to be hurtful and harmful to you. Notice this, consequences of borrowing. It gives the illusion of independence, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We read these verses, and it's a warning. Listen, be careful, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Notice this, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, you know what, honestly, to some of you, maybe tonight is the first time that you're really being systematically taught the Bible principles and the warnings in the Bible against indebtedness. But you know what? You know now to do good. You know now to do good. You'd be surprised how merciful God is. You'd be surprised how much God comes to us. You know, Paul even said, you know what? God forgave me and God helped me because I did it in ignorance. You know, there's some things you just do in ignorance. And you know what? It doesn't mean God's not going to make you have to work your way out, but he's merciful. He's good to us. But when we know and we go and do anyway, we're really setting ourselves up for problems. Okay? Consequences of borrowing. Let me remind this to you, men. It places your wife and children at risk. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." What happened? Here was a man that presumed upon tomorrow. He went and got an indebtedness. You know what? Then he died. Guess who was left with his debt? The wife and children. The creditors are coming. You say, "Oh, but Brother Jerry, I've got that loophole filled up. I've got a good insurance policy. And if I croak, my wife will be richer than she's ever been in her life. Matter of fact, I kind of worry about what she feeds me sometimes. And try to every once in a while have my food and water tested a little bit." Well, you know what? That sounds good. But what if you don't die? What if you're injured? What if you're disabled? What if all of a sudden you can't work? You still got the same debt. By the way, go out and try to buy that insurance. You can, but it's horrific. I'm just saying, folks, we can't close all the loopholes. The best way to give your wife and children security is to get out of debt, is to not involve yourself in indebtedness, okay? Places your wife and children at risk. It removes barriers to harmful items. You know, there's some things that you want that God really doesn't want you to have. The Bible says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts." And I don't care who you are, that's true at some time in your life. Or sometimes you just want something so bad that you pray and you ask it and you can't get it, and God doesn't answer your prayer. You know why He's not answering your prayer? He doesn't want you to have it. Because it's not something that's really good for you. So we go through the vehicle of answered prayer. We don't get what we want. So what we do is, well, God said no. Let's see if the banker will say yes. And we go ahead and go past God and past God's stopping point and past God, the barrier God's put up, and say, basically, "I'm going to get it anyway, God." You see? And then 1 Timothy 6:9, "But they that will be rich..." You know what that will be? Boy, don't forget, "they that will be." In other words, "Lord, I want this." And the Lord says, "I don't think that'd be good for you." "Well, I'm gonna have it." You know, ladies, let me plead with you. You know, there are certain women that are just, they are going to have certain things. Or they're going to drive their husband to the nut farm. I mean, they just got this sense of entitlement. Let me give you a great thought here. Boy, this is a great thought. You know, this is a great litmus test for you. There is something very real that happens in our life where we once were grateful, but gratitude has now been replaced with expectation. Right. Boy, don't miss what I'm saying. Remember the day when your husband would get you something and you were grateful for it? But now you're not even grateful, you expect it. And you're mad if you don't get it. See, we get in our mind this haughtiness, this pride, that you know what? We just deserve to live at a certain... And we're going to do that, and buddy, you know what? If God won't let us, we'll do whatever financially we have to see to it that we have. And you know what? You're no longer grateful. You live in expectation. And that's a great litmus test. When God gives me something, am I genuinely grateful for it? Or do I have a sense of expectation like, well, I deserve that? And that's a dangerous place to get to in your life. But they that will be rich, they just decide, you know what? Whether God wants me to have this stuff or not, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have... Well, if you develop that attitude... "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." And you know, man, you're an easy target. You know what? Because you're determined. You're gonna get it. Man, there's institutions and organizations lined up. They love people like you. You know why? You're easy pickings. You know, because you made up your mind, instead of trusting the Lord, you're going to have certain things, and you're going to do whatever you have to do to get them. And you know what? You're going to drown in destruction and perdition. Be very careful about that. Notice this, consequences of borrowing, it demonstrates discontentment with the basics. 1 Timothy 6, 8 and 10, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And I've watched this financial destruction come into people's lives, and folks, you'd be surprised how many people aren't in church anymore. And the honest reason, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is finances. Finances. Finances just took them out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Well, I'm sorry, God, but that's not good enough for me. And I'm not happy with what you've promised to do, and that is just provide my needs. I'm going to have more than that. So we just push through. The love of money becomes the focus of our life. It's the root of all evil. We begin to covet, and next thing you know, we're erring from the faith. What does that mean? Do I become an atheist? No, that means you begin to trample over the principles and precepts of that book. You don't live by faith. You err from a life of faith. Okay? And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pressure. A lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of arguments and stress and strife that's created by financial problems in a home. Okay? Consequences of borrowing, it devours resources through interest and payments. Luke 16, 10 and 11, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? It devours resources through interest payments. I already mentioned this, but what you ought to do is you ought to figure up how much interest you're paying every month to all the different things that you're indebted to, and you ought to take a look at that, and you ought to look at it every single time you pay your bills. You ought to look at that amount. You ought to face that. You ought to let it motivate you, because that amount of money could be going to a lot of different other things in your life, and it would be a blessing, I'm sure. Consequences of borrowing. It stifles resourcefulness. Now, I really want to challenge you in this area. Well, Brother Jerry, if I want something, and you know what? It's something that I cannot afford through what I'm through what I get through labor. Well, then that means there's two other resources available to you. There's creative resourcefulness, and there's answered prayer. And I think a lot of times it has hurt the American mind. It has hurt ingenuity. We don't think anymore. We just go borrow. Have you ever just stopped and said, okay, you know what, this isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing, and I don't have the money for it through labor, but you know what, Lord, how can I in some creative way be resourceful and get the extra money in a biblical manner? And you know, a lot of times God, that is his way of answering your prayer, by giving you creative resourcefulness. He may not drop the money in your lap, but he may give you an idea that helps you to know how to earn the money. Now notice what it says here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know what this is talking about? Creative resourcefulness. Increasing possessions through wise dealings, ethical dealings, buying, selling. Let me just encourage you, men, and think about this. There's other ways to make money than just what's coming in your paycheck for your 40 hours, 45 hours of labor. There's diligence. Think about this. Sometimes that's a great way. There's great things that God can show you and help you with in this matter. But we've kind of lost in America our resourcefulness. You know, America was built on capitalism. Not on bondage, not on slavery, not on welfare. On capitalism. Capitalism's not a bad thing. Capitalism's a good thing. We'll be lucky if anything's left of it in the next 8 years. But it's a good thing. Okay? And I think one of the things that's so anti-Bible is the whole idea of taking from somebody that's successful to give to somebody who refuses to try to be successful. Amen. That is so absolutely opposite of what the Scripture teaches. Right. Remember the parable when they were given the talents, and one person doubled them and was congratulated, the other person doubled theirs, congratulated, the one that dug it in a hole and did nothing with it, the master said, take it from him and give it to the one who had the 10. That's opposite of what we're doing. We don't punish those that won't be resourceful or punish those that are lazy. We punish somebody that's successful and make them take what they've earned through hard work and creative resourcefulness and give it to somebody who won't work. And again, you know your preacher's heart. I didn't say can't work. I said won't work. And there's a difference. Let me be first in line to help the guy that can't work. Let me be first in line to help the family that has a genuine need. I have no problem with that. I'm glad to see some of my tax money go to that. But I don't want one penny to go to the rascal that's just too lazy to do it. He's got the same strength and same health and same options and lives in the same country that I do. But you know what? He wants to sit on his blessed assurance and do nothing. Shame on him. And he shouldn't take what I work and take from my family and take from what I could give to the Lord extra to support his laziness. That's not right. It's un-American. Okay, I had to vent. Thank you. Now, also, indebtedness, credit cards, the ability to buy when you don't have the cash in your pocket. You know what it does? It promotes impulse buying. One of the things Pastor Ross taught us way back when he helped us, and he's done it many times and taught many of the same principles, most of the same principles, and additional principles that I'm not going to cover. But one of the things he said that helped us so much is, listen, folks, just for the most part, try to live on a cash basis. Okay? You know, what happens is if we've got a bunch of credit cards, a bunch of means to buy something on borrowed money and it's easy, you see what they're doing? It's almost, you see the commercial where you've got these stores and everybody's flying through with their cards and everything's going great and there's happiness and music and man, everything's sliding and somebody tries to pay with cash and everybody looks at them like, what's wrong with you? Are you an idiot? You just messed up everything. Did you see that? Have you seen that commercial? They're ridiculing the person that pays out of the money they now have in their hand. Ridicules them. And you're messing the whole society up. Man, slide the card and keep moving, bud. Slide the card and keep moving. Craziness. So it promotes impulse buying. You've got $20 in your pocket. You come in there to get the five things on your list that's going to cost less than $20. You see a couple of things that you don't really need, but they're neat. But you don't have the money. And next thing you know, the little devil in your wallet whispers, hey, I'm in here. And it's not that much. But the problem is it wasn't that much last time, and it won't be all that much next time. But guess what it all adds up to? A lot. And we just get that habit of sliding the card, sliding the card, sliding the card. Where if we said, you know what? I've got five things I came for. I got the cash to do it. I'm going to pay the cash. I'm going to walk out of this store, and I'm not going to owe anybody anything. That is a great way to live. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, for he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. And we'll cover this when we talk about impulse buying, but this little phrase here, he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of the times, if you would not buy something on the spur of the moment or buy something just because a salesman's made a great pitch, if you just make a rule, especially with any kind of major purchase, that you're going to go home and sleep on it, most of the time you wouldn't go back the next day and get it. But there's pressure, there's sales pitches, these guys are good at what they've done, they're trained to do it, and next thing you know, because we make a quick decision about something. We see it, we want it, we get it. Didn't pray about it, didn't think about it, didn't price around to see if you can get it cheaper, didn't decide, well, that's good, but I'll save up for it. Just boom, let me get the credit card out. Boom, there it is. And we get in debt. Okay? Consequences of borrowing, it encourages living outside your means. It does. Philippians 4:12. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There's times in your life God will give you an abundance, and that's good. But you know what? You can be content with that. But also, if you go through times of wantonness, You can be content there too. God provides your needs. It's good. All right? But, again, borrowing just allows you and gives you the power, temporary power, to live outside your means. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There it is. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Some of the probably the person that's the biggest enticer in our life is us. The person that we have the hardest time saying no to is us. You know why? Because, buddy, we love ourselves. And we don't want to deny ourselves. But you know what? One of the things you need to learn to say to yourself on a regular basis is no. It's no. You know what? Boy, it's amazing. You know how your mind works? You see that? Boy, you start building this case, and you're like a lawyer. You start giving yourself all the reasons and all the ways, and you start... It's amazing how we convince ourselves of how we need that, or we can't do without it, or we got to get it now, instead of just letting Bible principles be what guides us, okay? All right, now let's talk about paying back borrowed money. All right, Brother Jerry, that's good. I'm glad to know all those things. You're right, but that doesn't change the facts. I have indebtedness. I'm going to have to pay this back. Good, and you ought to. Now, let me give you some things here. By the way, you're not going to know what to do until you know where you're at. You're not going to know what to do until you know where you're at. This is the beginning of 2009. We're just in the first half of the month. You haven't paid the end of the month bills yet, January bills. Now's the time to sit down, get a notebook out, and really figure out where you're at. List all of your debts. I don't care if it's you owe $35 on a credit card all the way up to, you know, $30,000. You list everything that you now have debt on. Okay, list every single one of them down. List them out. Okay? Now, how do you get out of debt? Let me give you this. Once you've got that list in front of you, you're going to probably just want to despair. You're going to say to yourself, man, you know what? You know, I know what they teach. I know what Pastor is trying to get us to do. And I know what the Bible says. But, man, I mean, you know, we dug ourselves in such a hole. We're just going to have to live the rest of our lives this way. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 years. It may take you 3 years. It may take you 5 years. Brother Jerry, 5 years is a long time. Well, wonder if you'd have started 5 years ago. Would it seem like as long? Wouldn't you have been happy you started? You know what? At some point, you just got to say, let's get a plan. Let's nibble away at this thing. Let's knock it down. Let's start down the road. And I think you'll find this. If you honor the Lord and you figured it out and you think it's going to take 5 years and you implement principles, God is a God of mercy. You know what? He may begin to give you, in some ways, more abundance that allows you to get it done quicker, but He's going to wait for you to start. God is merciful. He gives us grace. He gives us help if He sees we're serious about it. But if He sees we're going to play games, then you know what? It's probably not going to bail. I mean, listen, if you were the Lord, if you were an investor, how much money are you going to throw in the same hole where it just keeps disappearing? At some point, He's got to look at some of His children and say, you know what? I think I'm just going to send the blessings to somewhere else. I've got a steward that's mismanaging my finances. I'm not going to keep throwing extra stuff at Him. Make sense? Okay, so now, if you have to sell everything, anything you possibly can, and pay off as much debt as possible. Brother Jerry, if I sell it, I'm not going to get what I owe out of it. In some instances, that's right. Read, and we'll see if we got a time next week to take a look at it. I think we will. Luke 16 is one of the most important parables. Luke chapter 16, one of the most important parables that you'll ever read. There was a master that had a problem, an issue with one of his stewards. And you know what? That steward knew that he was coming. You know what he did? He went to people that he had lent out money to, and he said, listen, you owe me 100, write 80. You know what he was doing? He was settling at a loss. Because he figures it's better to when the master shows up for me to have something than nothing. And you know what? The Bible says the master commended him. You know, well, if I just cleaned house and got what I could and settled what I could, I'm still going to owe this much. Well, is it a lot less than what you owe now? And I'm just saying, you know, I think that what we ought to do is, if we've dug this hole, one of the best things you can do is go around and look at some of the things that you have that you don't owe any money on. Sell them. Pay off a debt. Sell them. Knock down a credit card. Sell this. You know what this is going to test? It's going to test how much in love you are with your stuff. Well, I paid $3,000 for that riding lawnmower. If I sell it, I'm only going to get $1,500. Well, that's $1,500 you're not going to owe. And there's an invention. It's called a push mower. Buy one for about $100. A push mower? You mean people still use us in this day and age? Yeah, really. Yeah, this is going to shock many of you, but my dad never would buy us boys a riding lawnmower. And think about what it cost me, you know. He didn't care. Cut your toe off. Go out there and push it. Dad, I'm on crutches. It's your turn. Get out there and push it. And this yard we had over in Brazil, it was what, 40 acres? Something like that? The yard was, I remember it being at least 40 acres. I mean, hot summer day, no mercy. Man, I'm telling you, it was brutal what we went through. Yeah, you can mow a yard with a push mower. It's been proven. Now, you have to go way back in history to find instances of it, but yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing? Okay? All right. Now, if you sold everything, liquidated everything you can, you still got debt. All right, you got the list of debts, what you owe. What's the smallest debt you have? Smallest debt I have, Brother Jerry, is a $45 payment to JCPenney's. That's the smallest one. I owe him $400, and that's the smallest on the list. Okay, listen to me. Don't miss this. Pay every one of your other debts with the minimum payment, and everything extra that you get in the end of that month, put on that one bill, the smallest one. I'm talking about the one that they only want $45 for. What did I just say? $45 for. Pay as much extra as you can and get that $300 or $400 paid off as quick as possible. Now, as soon as that is paid off, you don't go, yippee, more money to go to the restaurant with. You take that money that you were putting on that bill and you move it to the next smallest bill and you add that to the minimum on that and you start hitting that one hard. Pay the minimum on all the rest of them. Pay the maximum as much as you can on the smallest till you liquidate it. Then move it over. Then pay that one down. Then move two of them over. Now you've got twice the amount. Are you following me? You got twice. Move it over. Work from the smallest up. And start knocking these things out one at a time. Okay? Target the smallest amount. When that bill is paid, take the money that was going to that bill and apply it to the next smallest debt. When that debt is paid off, apply both amounts to the next bill. Continue till debt free. Okay? Now if you're doing that, pretty much is going to shoot everything to smithereens if you go out in the process of doing all this, go out and borrow more money somewhere along the line. If in 2008 you paid off three bills but created four, I don't think you're probably any farther ahead. Okay, at some point in your life, you're going to have to say, no more borrowing. I'm going to trust the Lord. Brother Jerry, I need a vehicle. Well, there's vehicles that don't cost $25,000. Okay, the church is very generous to supply me with a 2002. By the way, that Jeep is a 2002. Okay, 2002 Jeep. Got low mileage on it. It's a good vehicle. You know why the church was able to provide that for me? Because we, instead of going out and borrowing on it, we take $300 a month and set it aside ahead of time. At the end of every 3 years, we have about $10,000. We take the vehicle we already have from the church, we add it to the $10,000, we go out, we buy a new vehicle for the next 3 years. Church doesn't pay a dime of interest on it. That vehicle costs $10,800, not plus interest, not $14,000 after you figure the interest, $10,800. We got the title as soon as the paperwork went through on the plates, we have the title. Bank doesn't have the title, we have the title to it. Okay? The van Cheryl drives is a 1997 Dodge Caravan. It's got 175,000 miles on it. Okay, I've got a real new truck. It's a 95 Chevy S10. It's got 112,000 miles on it. We bought a real fancy new car for Tabitha. It's a 1994 Mazda. By the way, all of them are presentable. All of them are neat. I'm not ashamed to drive any of them. Well, I'm ashamed to drive Tabitha's. It's all the bumper stickers. When you're in a car, you got to borrow your daughter's car, and you realize when you get out of the gas station, there's a little thing on the gas tank that says, "Drama Queen, straight ahead." You know, that's a little bothersome. I mean, this is Greene County. People, there's men in four-wheel drive trucks that'll beat you up for that. I used to get in Hannah's car, and she bought one of these steering wheel covers that was a furry, kind of a baby blue furry thing, you know. And I would walk in there, and I'd get a hold of that, and I would just go, and I'd take it off and throw it in the back, and take all the little duties off of her. I mean, I'm just taking it up to get the oil change. I'm going to get beat up by rednecks, you know. It's embarrassing. You know, are you listening to me? You know, I mean, honey, we still haven't got that new car. I don't know if we ever will. Sorry. Gee, but we can give to missions. And we can give tithes and offerings. Sleep pretty good. Are you listening to me? I'm not against anybody having anything God's okayed you to have. But I'm just saying, folks, we don't have to have nearly what we think we need to have. And so, again, I'm not mad at anybody that's ever had a new vehicle. You come in tomorrow, next week, and say, "Brother Jerry, I want to show you something." I'll walk right out there with you. I'll look at it, and I'll say, "Praise the Lord, good," and I'll be glad for you having it. I never begrudge anybody anything. It's really between you and the Lord. I'm just saying, please use godly wisdom. We just want sometimes. And the thing is, if you're in debt and you're trying to get out of debt and you're borrowing the money while you're trying to pay off things, you're just creating a vicious cycle, okay? Let me give you this principle to help you. Do not co-sign a loan for someone else. I could just tell you horror stories, okay? Well, there's a guy at work, or there's this situation, there's that situation, and next thing you know, you've jeopardized your family in a way that you shouldn't jeopardize your family. So again, I'll let you take that for what it's worth, but I just would make that a principle. Get rid of, and could I say this? In some ways, you're enabling. You're enabling them. Okay, get rid of credit cards. Instead, if absolutely necessary, get a debit card. And say, "Well, I've got to have a credit card because some of the things I do." Well, there is now debit cards, and they can be used as credit cards, only it pulls money directly out of your checking account instead of borrowing money that you don't have. It just takes money you do have. Let me give you a word of warning about these debit cards, though. Folks, the banks are making more money off of penalties and service fees than they ever will make off of interest. I'm just going to tell you a real life situation. We got a debit card, and I thought, well, that'll be handy to have. If you use, and you need to really talk to your bank about this, because, and now they're even starting to put stickers on gas pumps. But sometimes if you get a debit card and you use it, it will freeze your account for a certain amount of time until that clears. And if you use it several times in a row, several days in a row, it'll make things bounce because it treats your account as if there's no money because it's frozen. I'm just saying, sit down with your banker with the debit card and say, "Tell me what this will do, won't do." Now, that happened to us. I went in and talked to the bank. They said, "Well, it's in the small print." And I said, "Well, they never told me this." That I asked them, "This can be used just like a credit card. If the money's in my account, it comes out." And the lady said, "Well, you know, they should have informed you a little bit more about, should have answered your question more clearly. They credited us back the money that they, and the penalties that they had put in there, and we got it straightened out." But you know what? That, I looked at that debit card, and I think, you know, at least the kind I had, that's not much good to me. If I'm going to use something, it's going to... I'm just saying, folks, the system is set up to try to mess you up. because they're going to make more money off of you on a penalty or an overdraw or some mistake they can help you make than they ever will on the interest of the money that you have in that account. So take all those things into consideration, okay? All right. Tips to paying back interest on borrowed money. I think what we'll do is we'll cover that next week. Let's stand to our feet.
We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer and a short invitation, and then we'll go home. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you will help us and bless us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, we've given a lot of practical things. This has been more of a teaching than a preaching. Lord, inform information. But Lord, I pray that these Bible principles will take us and bring us to some solid decisions in our lives. And Lord, for some family in this church, for a man, for a woman, for a teenager, this type of thing, even though it's mostly a teaching time, this time right now, if they would make certain decisions, maybe it's just the decision of, you know what, Lord, with your help, we're going to get out of debt. Lord, with your help, we're not going to borrow any more money. We're going to use labor, creative resourcefulness, and answered prayer. And if the funds aren't there through those three means, we're going to take it that it's from God, that we should not get it. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to make some decisions based on principles. Help us to nail down these things in our lives to keep us from further harm, further destruction. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.